in our report, there's reference to the Mornington Shire Council visit by the CEO, Mr. Frank Mills. And he came down because one of our staff, Patrick Corkery, from the Capital Works Department, went up there to work for a period of time. It's fair to say that we are very committed to Aboriginal communities in this council, and that's evidenced by the fact that we even have a we acknowledge them in at the start of each meeting, but also we have a relationship, an interstate relationship with the Yarrabah Council in Queensland, and this one is probably a bit more informal, but it could develop into something more, I'm not sure, and that's with the Mornington Shire Council. Patrick Corkery went up there to work for a period of time, and I think he was highly regarded from the report that we got by them. When Mr. Mills came down here. But he's also brought down a gift which is hanging up here on the wall, quite striking. It's a painting by a local Mornington artist, Alvin Gavinor, titled The Rainbow Serpent and Sister, and we're very proud to have that given to us and being able to display it. It's quite a striking painting. We're very pleased that to receive that, but also acknowledge that the good work that Patrick did in going up there and helping them out. And you know, they are a struggling community, as is Yarrabah and a lot of those communities, and we're just happy to that our staff can go up and help them out, those types of councils. So just like to point that out. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Hadfield. Councillor Gates.
Thank you. I just wanted to note that the community grants program is now closed, but we received 176 applications, which is an increase of 50% more than last year, which is really good to see. I suspect perhaps last year we were undersubscribed rather than this year being more oversubscribed, but it's really good to get the engagement with the community and see what sort of needs are required across the municipality through that grants program. Any funds that are not expended through the grants will then become available through the quick response grants, which will open in February. So it's great to see. And also pleasing to say, Daughters of the West is program has commenced, and that's running out of Lambton and South Kingsville, which is also terrific.
Thank you, Councillor Gates. Any other speakers to the motion? Go ahead, Councillor Wilson.
Just very briefly, because I attended the opening of the Langshores Reserve Playground on Sunday morning, just to see how well received some of the capital works expenditure and the development of these really important play spaces for community are being received, and just overwhelming number of people and young families who are out there enjoying it on Sunday morning, and the coffee cart was incredibly oversubscribed. But I suppose the report encapsulates many of these projects that we're delivering, and so it's good to see and be able to present it in this format to the councillors, but also to our community.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Any other speakers? In which case, Councillor Hempel.
Go to the vote.
I will now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried. Thank you. Next item is 8.2.1, the Audit Committee update. Any questions on this item, councillors?
So moved.
Moved by Councillor Gates.
Seconded.
Seconded by Councillor Wilson. Councillor Gates, you have 5 minutes.
Very briefly, this is the minutes from our June Audit Committee meeting. This was our first meeting with our new Audit Committee members. So the election of the new Audit Committee Chair, Ms. Lisa Tripodi, was appointed during the meeting. We've reviewed our internal audit program, and I believe that was finalised at the last Audit Committee meeting that occurred in August, so 2 months later, and the minutes for that meeting are yet to come forward. Other than that, the rest of the items of business were fairly straightforward and part of our annual plan. Thank you.
Terrific. Thank you. Anything to add, Councillor Wilson?
Nothing to add, it's self-explanatory.
Certainly, in which case I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, the motion is carried. Move now to 8.2.2, the Draft Annual Financial Report 2018-2019. Any questions on this?
Just one question.
If there are no questions, I'm happy to move this item with a change to point three, and that is just to replace the words "and another councillor," not "and," but "another councillor," with Councillor Sandra Wilson, being me, to certify the annual financial report for the year ending 30th of June in its final form. And
happy to second that.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll make that change and second it by Councillor Arthur.
Third section.
Yep.
I'm
just
going to
grab it.
No, sorry.
Yeah, no. I'm just going to grab it and put it in the motion. That's all.
So are you happy with the words on screen, Councillor Wilson?
Yes.
And Alte?
Yes.
In which case, Councillor Wilson?
Certainly. Procedural and obviously an important component of any council's business that we present our annual financial report at the end of the financial year, having been audited and also gone to the Victorian Auditor General's office. It's important to note that they are still in draft form and subject to any final approval by the Auditor General. And that also includes the performance statement as well. So it's as the Audit Committee said, when they were presented to Audit Committee, they're very clean reports. I think they were very impressed with all of the detail. If there were any changes that comes back from the Auditor General, as long as they're immaterial, then we've given the authority to our CEO to make any of those adjustments. If it were material, and we would hope that it's not, given that they've been so clean, and that will probably have to come back to us for consideration. The only comment I'll make around it is about the surplus, and it looks like a very healthy surplus. It's well above what was projected by some 10 million, but I think it's fair to say that that's just a timing issue. We are in receipt of income revenue from grants and other sources, but mostly grants, and it's a timing issue. So it's good to have a healthy surplus. It's a bit healthier than we projected, but there's good reason for that. And that's probably as much as I will say.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor Alton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think Councillor Wilson has explained it pretty thoroughly, so I have nothing further to add.
Thank you. Any other speakers to the motion? Anyone against the motion? Councillor Wilson?
You can put that to the vote, sir.
I intend to do so, and I will now put the motion to vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried. Thank you. 8.2.3, procurement policy. Any questions on this?
Happy to move.
Thank you. Councillor Hemphill, the mover.
Seconded
by Councillor Gates. Councillor Hemphill.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. It's pretty straightforward, this one. We're just revoking our old procurement policy. I think we have to do this, reassess the procurement policy every year. We have a new one. The major change is that we're allowing the CEO by delegation to move his delegation limit from $500,000 to $1 million, noting that it's similar to Brimbank and Wyndham councils, a couple of our neighbours, but a bit less than Maribyrnong's. And we note that in 1819 there were only 7 contracts that were awarded that were $1 million or in that bracket, so it's not a major concern. So we're just giving the CEO more authority. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Gates.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Mr. McLeod and his team for the updates that have been made to the procurement policy this year. There's been a bit of an overhaul of the whole document, so the purpose and scope at the front end is much clearer, and there's also been some strengthening within the content around how we support local business and also around sustainable and social procurement This is something that we've been looking to incorporate into the procurement policy for some time, and it's great to give it a bit of a refresh with that type of lens. So thanks very much.
Thank you. Well said. Any other speakers to this motion? Anyone against the motion? With your permission,
go to the vote.
We will go to the vote. I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried. The next item is 8.3.1, Progress Report, Hobsons Bay Economic Development Strategy 2015-20. Are there any questions on this item? In which case, seek a mover. Thank you kindly. Councillor Wilson, the mover.
Seconded.
Seconded by Councillor Gates. Councillor Wilson, you have 5 minutes.
I'll be shorter than that. Thank you. I think it's really important to acknowledge what is a really important team to the council's to the work that we do. Absolutely, economic development's been something that we've been committed to in terms of increasing opportunities for business to have a great place to do business in Hobsons Bay, and to improve or increase the opportunities for people working locally. So that support that we offer, it is a good place to do business in Hobsons Bay. And this strategy, it's over 4 years, and we're coming up to the fourth year of it now, but there's been a lot of hard work. We've got an incredibly professional team in that area. And certainly, I don't know whether the current mayor has had the opportunity to go do business visits in his term, but certainly in my mayoral term, getting out and visiting our local businesses and seeing who we have and how they're doing, it's a really important part of our agenda. So our team is always out there engaging and doing so much, and there's I'm not going to go through all of the items in here and the achievements that have been made, but it's enormous. It's an enormous amount of work, and it's a credit to, as I say, that very professional team. There's I wonder if we can claim credit in any way through our liaison with Middles Junction getting a cinema, because that's one of the things that become aware of, and I think that's a big plus in terms of a business outcome for that area in Altona North. But that's just one of many things that this amazing team does, and I'm very proud that we have this focus. So if you could pass those compliments back to the team members of Slade, I think it would be terrific. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor Gates.
Thank you. Just to echo the words said by Councillor Wilson, and certainly some of the economic development opportunities and new programs we have seen launched over the last year or two has included the Coffee Connect sessions in the morning, where there's your small business are able to connect with each other all across the municipality. We've had the STEM Squad with in conjunction with the Western Business Accelerator and Centre of Excellence, working with youth people. You know, our young people around science, technology, education and maths. Shops on Show last Christmas was really successful. We saw a lot of shops all across the municipality get involved in displaying, putting on all fabulous displays in the lead up to Christmas. And of course we've got the Business Awards coming up next month, which will be really exciting as well. So this is a very dynamic area of council, and the team are doing great work.
Thank you, Councillor Gates. Any other speakers to this motion or against the motion? Councillor Wilson, I'll now put the motion to the vote.
You can put the motion to the vote. I'll let you. Thank you.
Thank you. You're very kind. All those in favour of the motion? The motion is carried. 8.4.1, the next item, Ferguson Street, Williamstown, Level Crossing Community Interest Group position. Are there any questions on this item?
Happy to move the motion, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hepburn.
I'm happy to second it.
Councillor Altair, the seconder. Councillor Hepburn.
thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the work that the Community Interest Group have done. They worked tirelessly to come to a preferred outcome. and what this report is about is to detail that the preferred option is rail under road. I guess really need to start by acknowledging the, you know, the work that the council's done with its grade separation principles, and it's all detailed in this particular booklet. When I look through it, you know, some of the ones that stand out are conservation of special values and neighbourhood character, and particularly one of the principles is to retain the North Williamstown train station building and enhance and celebrate the heritage values of the train station and other heritage features that are local around that precinct. There's also particular points relating to the Williamstown crossing Ferguson Street, and they are being a connected community and offering quality public places. The other one that stands out is value for money outcome. It's interesting that when you look at the survey results that are in our appendix, when we look at value for money, the one that stands out, the road over rail stands out in one of those categories, and that's the only one that fits the road over rail option. And while some of the merit of all the options that have been put up, the community interest group has clearly defined what it thinks is the best outcome. And I guess in some respects, and some of the people that are on that committee have expressed to me, is that it shouldn't be about necessarily about value for money. It's they note that I think on average we've been told that each of the crossing removals cost about $160 million off the top of my head. That's what they've informed us across the state. But some of them have been far in excess of that. This is a very sensitive crossing removal, and I don't think the cost should be an impediment. One of the things that is not in our report, but some of the interesting work that this group did, was did a survey of what impedes the traffic the most. And I think off the top of my head, it was something like 42% of it is due to the pedestrian crossing, that people pushing the operated pedestrian crossings in some area. That's a bit of a worry. And one of the things that one of the ideas that they've come up with, and that's doing an underground pedestrian crossing, a bit like what is being planned at Laverton. And it's quite a novel idea, because if you could solve that issue, essentially there'd be probably, by inference, of something like a 40% traffic flow just by doing something quite simple. I hope that the government heeds that idea, and whatever outcome they come up with, that is one of the things that might make more traffic flow a bit better through there. And it's an interesting concept, so it doesn't matter whether you're going rail over or rail under the road. If you don't do something about the pedestrian crossing, you're still going to have the same setup that you currently got from people putting the pedestrian operated buttons. And I think that what this group have come up with is a novel idea that really needs to be genuinely assessed by the government. So anyhow, there's merit in all the options, and we'll wait and see what the government do. My mail is that they've already made up their mind and that it's rail over. I'm hearing that from government sources. So, and while they might have a public position, we haven't made our mind up yet, I don't think that's absolutely correct. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Councillor Hooper. Councillor Altia.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I echo the sentiments of my colleague and certainly remind everyone we did have an underpass there, which was filled in. Pardon me. But certainly this will strengthen our hand in our advocacy. And while it's not actually prescribed in the motion, We will be bringing this preferred position to the attention of both the local member and indeed the one of the relevant ministers in Ms. Melissa Horn. So I don't know whether we should have probably prescribed an item 3 that we bring to the attention of the local member. What has been adopted, I assume is going to be adopted tonight, but I think it could be assumed that we will be doing that, Mr. Mayor.
Certainly, I intend to do that next meeting. So. Thank you, Councillor Altair. Any other speakers to the motion? No one against the motion? Which case, we'll put the motion to the vote.
Could I come to you, Mr. Mayor? Close the debate.
Of course, it is your right to reply.
Thank you. Just picking up Councillor Altair's point, that particularly about the underpass and it's now being removed, I want to clarify what the residents are suggesting is a much larger underpass that goes from the station gate underneath the roundabout over to the Rifle Club Hotel, which would make it a quite.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Just want to make sure we clarify where that underpass might to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Handel. I'll put the motion to the vote. All of those in favour? The motion is carried. We move now to 8.4.2, which is Contract 2019.26, JT Gray Reserve Pavilion Design and Construction. Are there any questions on this one?
There are no questions. I'm happy to move the motion.
Certainly. Thank you, Councillor Handel.
Happy to second the motion.
Councillor Handel, the mover. Councillor Altair, the second mover. You have 5 minutes, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm sure I won't need that much time. This is to award a contract for the J.K. Gray Reserve Pavilion, which is the pavilion that serves the soccer clubs, the Williamstown Soccer Club and the Barnes-Woolworth Soccer Club Junior. Soccer club
and the two cricket clubs.
And the cricket clubs, and I think there's another tenant as well. This has been a long process. I'm going to say I chaired the whole committee then, and I reckon it was back in 2009, so it's been going on for 10 years. Although there's been a little bit of a roadblock in servicing the needs of the two soccer clubs in particular. And particularly with their social space and kitchens, that's been the most contentious part. We've now gone through a novel process of having a design and construct provision for this particular pavilion, and this is something that our CEO has brought to the table since he's been here, and I think it's worked out fairly well. I think we've got some substantial savings in doing this way. And my recollection is that the money that we're going to spend here, which also includes the car parks at the western end and the car parks off Coral Road Creek Road. My recollection is that when we planned this a few years ago, and I'm going to say it's probably 2 or 3 years ago, we were pretty well right on this particular amount, this figure. So I think we've done pretty well to get this done for this particular price. And I look forward to the work being started and completed. I also note that while we've got $650,000 from Sport and Recreation Victoria, I believe that came last financial year, might have been the financial year before even. And but I also note with interest that the developers of the Hobsons Bay Caravan Park contributing $92,000 as part of the it's a developer's contribution. Thank you, Councillor Chair. I might leave it at that, Mr.
Thank you, Conway. That's the second. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Councillor Chair.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and certainly this has been a long time coming, this project, and had a very long gestation period, and as Councillor Hill said when he was the, when we were in single ward, I think, configuration, Councillor Hepphill was very, very involved at the very, very start. It's one of our more significant locations in terms of active sports. But we should remember that there are two historic cricket clubs that share that site as well. They tend to be a little bit overwhelmed by the bigger soccer clubs, but it's fair to say that J.T. Gray, after whom the reserve was made, actually donated that land so that he could promote church cricket, because that's where the Kongs are still based. So, but as Councillor Hemphill said, we've got, under the new model, we're going to acquire an excellent, magnificent sports pavilion that will be also environmentally rated on a six-star basis. So we're well aware of the fact that we need to build sustainably for the future as well. And I think a six-star rated building will certainly comply with that aspect of our infrastructure development. I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Arthur. Are there any other speakers to the motion? Or anyone against the motion? Councillor Hepburn.
Just quickly in closing, while Councillor Altair points out that the cricket clubs probably get a bit overwhelmed, but they are the oldest clubs, just on that point, I understand that the Barnstonworth, the Barnstonworth Juniors Club is probably the 10th largest club in Melbourne, so it's quite a big club and draws in a lot of people, and different to most of the others in that it has a low cost. That's why it attracts so many people, kids going down there, and they are very inclusive, and particularly of disabled people, and particularly disadvantaged ethnic groups. I know they've been very good at attracting those communities down there. But we look forward to being able to build this. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried. 8.4.3, contract 2019.37, the sports ground redevelopments. Are there any questions on any of these developments or the motion itself?
If there are none, Mr. Mayor, I'm delighted to move this particular item.
Then you shall have the honour of moving this motion. Councillor Hepphill, second. Who will have the honour?
Might have to lapse.
Will let it lapse? No, I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor Hepphill.
Thank you. I'm glad my colleagues allowed me to collect my thoughts on this particular item. As we can see in the report, we have a sports ground redevelopment program, and it comprises 17 reserves, including 12 sports ground redevelopments with floodlighting, one new irrigation, and four new sports ground floodlighting projects. Very pleased to see that we're moving on these particular grounds and lighting projects. I don't know if people saw, but in the story in yesterday's paper, I think it was the Glen Eira Council, they're going through a similar sort of process, and particularly upgrading their lighting to competition grade lights. With the ones we're doing here, we're moving the same way. The difference is with that other council is that they're still talking about it and we're getting on with it. Part of the issue is that the influx of women into sports such as Aussie rules football has made it imperative that we do this to spread the usage of our sports grounds rather than trying to find and build new sports grounds. So very pleased that we're moving on this, and particularly so quickly after finishing our open space strategy, where we've identified a whole lot of places where we need to do these this types of work. I'll probably leave that at that for this one. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Hepburn. Go ahead, Councillor Wilson.
I think that it's fair to say that this is an awful lot of money that we're spending, $10 million, $11 million inclusive of GST, but it's important to point out that by packaging it this way, and this is a new way of delivering works, and I suppose we don't want to continue down the track of a master plan that commenced in, let's say, Scout in the Dark 2009 for JT Gray Reserve, as you just mentioned, under the previous item, that it takes us this long to deliver for the community because there's some generational inequity that occurs in, you know, if we keep having these projects that that continue on for years when the community waits and waits and waits. But just to come back to that, by doing it this way, delivering quickly as a package, we're also saving considerable amounts of money, and the estimate there is some $2 million. So those savings can be directed elsewhere, and perhaps not necessarily into the sports arena, given sports is getting a larger, looks like a large slice of the capital works budget, but that will go to other areas in that open space category that we have, because as we know, but there's 10 to 15,000 people who are engaged in organised sports across the city, that means that there's some 75,000, 80,000 people who aren't. So while it's a big ticket item, there's savings and funding can go elsewhere, and that's why we have a community input process to the Capital Works budget, and that's open at the moment for all ideas that are not just necessarily sports grounds, as important though they may be. And if I can just say one final thing on that in terms of more women in sport, that it would be really interesting to look at our expenditure and do a gender analysis of the dollar spent and do some comparisons around female participation as we are seeing it now, with more women engaging certainly in AFL, soccer, cricket, we hope, and just see whether we've got gender equity in terms of that spend, given it's such a large part of tonight's agenda and a lot of our capital work spend over time. But on that basis, happy to support a new package. A new packaging of important works that will make a fair few people happy.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Are there any other speakers to the motion? Or indeed against the motion? Councillor Hempel, you have the right of reply.
Thank you, Christine. I just wanted to follow on from Councillor Wilson and note that in the report we've identified a number of sports grounds, and I'm just trying to count them up. I think there are nine there, and they've been done over 2 years. So while we're spending, you know, $10 million this year, I note that one of them is for the Bayside College Paisley campus. That's a classic example of what I was talking about earlier, about finding new spaces and then having to build them from scratch. That's going to take up $2 million alone out of that $10 million. And we have to get away from doing that and putting in competition-grade lights in a lot of our facilities so that we can get better use out of the other grounds. I also note that some of the other big ones are Cross Reserve, and that's a similar program where we're actually we've got two grounds there now, and we're going to three, and I think it's that'll get us more people on the grounds, whether they're young kids or girls or boys. It's more about making sure that our community, particularly our young community, are active. Lastly, I'd just like to thank our staff for the enormous amount of work that they've put into this. Mm-hmm. And congratulations to you for, you know, making the savings that we've got for this novel idea of, let's call it a bulk buy. And it's interesting, in a bulk buy, it hasn't all gone to one tender, it's gone to five. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. In which case, I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried. Move now to another contract. 8.4.4, contract 2019.50, sports ground redevelopments. Are there any questions pertaining to this?
funds for your own reserve, so.
It's a typo, sorry. So I'll read it off the screen. That contract pertains to Fearon Reserve La Crosse Pavilion restoration and upgrade works in Williamstown. And the purpose is to award a contract for the Fearon Reserve at La Crosse Pavilion to restore and upgrade it. Are there any questions?
But in the absence of questions, I'm happy to move the motion as printed.
Certainly. Thank you, Councillor Altair.
Happy to second.
Peter, Councillor Happy will second. Councillor Altair, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can assure you I won't be spending my whole 5 minutes. But here again is an important sport in Hobsons Bay. Lacrosse, in fact, we are uniquely placed in some way, with lacrosse being historically popular across our city. And we're talking about a building that was built back in 1928, so it needs an upgrade, you know, obviously most urgently. But again, this process was conducted as part of a master planning process where we consulted the many tenants at this very, very well-used reserve, Fearon Reserve, which is also hosts football, of course, indeed amateur football, and my colleague here, Councillor Hemphill's son, is a star in that sport, so much so that he won for the second year in a row the CYs, is that right? The VEFA, which is the Brownlow for amateur football, by. So the relevance to this motion is that, of course, it's up to the council to maintain the facilities and the grounds at Fearon to make sure that these sports can be conducted safely and effectively. And so I'm pleased to be moving this contract be awarded for the upgrade of the La Crosse Pavilion. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Councillor Hemphill.
Nothing further to add. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers to the motion? No one against the motion. Councillor Altair.
No, I'm happy to prefer to go to the vote, thank you.
In which case I'll put that motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried. Move now to 8.4.5, which is the Westgate Tunnel Strategic Update Report. Are there any questions concerning this item?
I have a couple of questions.
Please go ahead, Councillor Wilson.
For Mr. May Nosikasipan. And my first question relates to, and it's on page 43, there's a reference under the Hobsons Bay Transport Planning Study that there are draft reports for the first areas of investigation, which include Grief Road, Hyde Street ramps, and the additional north-south link. They've been prepared and they're under review by the Project Working Group. When will these come and how will they come to council to be aware of the contents?
Councillor Wilson, the working group is currently reviewing those three reports. So once they gone through that process, it will be briefed to the councillors, part of a briefing process in the incoming months.
Would there be an opportunity as well, and I'm not sure about the timing of this, for our integrated transport portfolio advisory committee to see that as part of the consultation process?
I didn't think that with the state government around the time frame for the community consultation, so we'll look at that time frame and then we can align that with our transport advisory committee.
Now, I might assume the same for this, but I'll ask the question anyway. Under transport corridor study for Williamstown Road and Millers Road, out of the 52 initiatives that have been assessed for investigation, there's now 10 phase one initiatives that can be deliver benefits and be built by 2022, and they'll be available for community consultation in the near future. Is it the same circumstance with the council being able to see what these 10 phase one initiatives are?
Councillor Wilson, currently Big Roads is working towards those 10 options. Once we got more information, yes, the council will have more say into that. Once that's happened, then it will go to the community consultation.
Thank you. Thank you, because it's difficult to understand what they relate to without seeing them, and I think they're really important to this project. Thank you, Mr. Manning, that's Councillor Vernon.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Any other questions? Second mover.
I'll move.
Thank you, very kind. Councillor Wilson, the mover. Councillor Gates, the seconder.
I'll speak very briefly to it because this reporting process that comes to us each council meeting is that we receive a note, the current status report on the West Gate Tunnel project. So there's a lot of operational work that our team is undertaking in consultation with all of these constructed or configured groups, and also with state regulatory authorities and the state government. We have nothing, these reports come to us to report all of the operational information. There's nothing strategic decision making at this point, but I'm just trying to anticipate whether any of those reports, I suppose, would give us a reason to have a strategic decision making position over any of those. It's not clear at the moment, but lots of detail here, really important to keep abreast of it, and I'm grateful for this report coming to us each month to keep us updated on the impacts and progress of this big project, big state government project.
Thank you. Councillor Wilson. Councillor Gates.
I think just to also offer my appreciation on behalf of councillors, and hopefully also the community who get to read these each month. We appreciate the level of detail that's going and the preparation that's going into the reports, so thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone against the motion? Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Wilson.
You can put that to the vote.
Thank you. I'll put the motion to the vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried. 8.4.6, response to petition. Titled Request to Resurface Burn Lane, Sea Home and Additional Lane. Are there any questions on 8.4?
Just a quick one.
Yeah.
Just if I may.
Go ahead, please.
I was trying to get a good visual on it from Google Maps, and it's quite difficult. Could you just, is it like a private laneway? Could you just give me some idea of what this laneway is?
It is behind a number of properties, and it is a small laneway behind a number of properties. All those properties would have primary access from the main thoroughfare, and this is a secondary access.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? If there are none, I'll call for a mover.
I'll move that.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson.
Happy to second.
Councillor Heckel will second. Councillor Wilson, as the mover, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. This is in response to a petition we've received from some of the residents who back onto Burn Lane, and it's around the resurfacing that they're seeking and also the lighting. Now we're referring it to the Future Capital Works Programme and letting the lead petitioner know of the outcome that it's not an immediate fix. It's not a main thoroughfare that warrants, I mean, it'll be maintained, but it's not going to be resurfaced until we've actually referred it and looked at it in the priority list of, I think that's 14 kilometres of laneways that we've got across the city. So I suppose we'll have to look at it in the context of prioritisation. The lighting has been checked to make sure that it is of a standard that doesn't make it unsafe, but as a not, there are alternatives, I understand, for people to get move around this area, and so choosing that laneway as an option is probably not the best option. So on that basis, I thank our officers for doing the analysis, and let's see where it goes in the context of prioritisation of all of the other laneways across the city, but it'll certainly get looked at in more detail through that phase.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Councillor Hancock.
Nothing further to add.
Anyone against the motion? Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Wilson, anything further to add? I'll put the motion to the vote in that case. All those in favour? The motion is carried. Next item is 8.5.1. Response to petition titled Ban Single-Use Plastics on Beaches and Parks. Any questions?
A quick question.
Go ahead,
just in
please.
Terms of it, our recommendation references the development of a single-use plastics policy. Can I just have an idea of what time frame we're working to with the development of that policy?
Through you, certainly, Councillor Wilson, work is currently underway and we're expecting it to be completed early in the new year, potentially coming to a February Council meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Thank you, Ms. Winslow. No further questions? Call for a mover.
So moved.
Thank you. Councillor Gates, you're
seconded.
Seconded. Councillor Wilson. Councillor Gates, go ahead.
I'd like to start by thanking the petitioner for bringing this to the attention of council. Reducing the and banning single-use plastics within council and within the community has certainly been a topic of discussion within the council group ourselves, and something that we aspire to do sooner rather than later. So there's some affiliation, I think, in terms of values and direction that we want to take. In regards to the recommendation, there has been some community education and behaviour change activities already taking place. A lot of the work that we are doing is documented within our waste and litter management strategy, which was released earlier this year. And we do continue to advocate to other levels of government around how there can be a more holistic approach, both at a state level and federal level, around how we can reduce single-use plastics and other types of waste materials from our environment and our surrounds. An example of that has been captured within the report here as well, that it's not only single-use plastics that cause problems for our open spaces and coastline and waterways and so forth. Cigarette butts comprise the biggest percentage of pollution that we see within the environment around us. I think for myself, in the context of the statement that we'll continue with community education and behaviour change activities, there's an opportunity here where we could be working with the petitioner going forward, and the networks that the petitioner and other people who signed the petition have within their local communities. And I think that's an opportunity that we can take on board, where we can look at what types of community education programs we've got in place, maybe look at some of the gaps and work with local community how we can outreach and make more of an impact to local communities, especially in the context, I think, as well around recycling issues at the moment and so forth, and how we can educate people on waste reduction and alternatives to plastic going forward.
Thank you, Councillor Gates. Councillor Wilson.
I think if we could ban and have it work effectively, we would, but it's not as simple as that, unfortunately. I think Councillor Gates has summarised it really well. It's council has a role, but it's also a role with other levels of government, and the recycling crisis has brought some of that to a head, which is, you could say, it's useful in terms of moving this agenda in terms of the choices we make as individuals as well. Certainly, I think we're all thinking differently about the plastics, the single-use plastics. It's really hard to avoid them, so there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done. I mean, going back to the stewardship, product stewardship as well, just as an example, while we've had the recycling crisis, obviously it's got nothing to do with banning it, but banning plastics, but if you get plastic trays of anything, and it can be berries or meat or herbs or spices, none of them are standardised in any way. So while I'm trying to hoard I don't buy a lot of these things, to be honest, but being taken from my neighbours, but you can't even standardise them and stack them uniformly. So there's a lot of work to be done at each end of, whether it's at product stewardship or at the consumer end, and council has a role in the middle. I'd love it if we could ban single-use plastic, but it's on beaches, but it's just not practical, because if you ban something, you actually have to be able to enforce it, and that's just problematic. But this whole culture change, behaviour change, through these the whole range of issues that we're dealing with. I too commend the petitioner. I think that's a wonderful idea, and I'm looking into the gallery and seeing Rose McVicker from Zero Waste and many other wonderful recycling initiatives to connect those the people in this petition and start getting some more of a movement going. I think that we'll all do very well together. But let's wait for that policy as well, and we'll put it probably to our Environmental Sustainability Portfolio Advisory Committee to get their input into it as well. It's a very vexed issue. Thank you.
Indeed, thank you, Councillor Lawson. Is there anyone against the motion, or any other speakers to the motion? Would you like to reply? I'll now put the motion to vote. All those in favour? The motion is carried. We move now to the delegates' report. Are there any questions on the delegates' report? Will someone move the delegates' report?
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Gates. Whoever.
I'll second, because I think I'm on most of them.
Councillor Wilson, the seconder. Councillor Gates.
Thank you, Mayor Marsden. We did have a local government waste forum back at the beginning of August, and as the delegate was in attendance, there was a significant focus around recovering organics at that forum, and there were some special guests who came along and presented around from different components, I suppose, of the food chain in terms of councils who are already collecting food organics with garden organics and how those processes are going in terms of curbside collection frequency and contamination levels. And that flowed on to hear also from one of the composting facilities who's at the other end receiving some of the materials that people are placing in those bins, and talking about the issues with contamination around plastics and glass and so forth, and the impact that has on being able to process a good quality composting product. That then tied into some presentations around the Back to Earth campaign, and a number of councils have been getting on board with that campaign as well in promoting how circular economy principles around people who can put food organics and garden organics in their curbside bin, and that material comes back as compost that you can then use back in your garden. So it was a very good night overall.
Thank you, Councillor Gates. Councillor Wilson.
I'll be brief and just say that I'd commend our advisory committees. We've got Integrated Transport and the Environmental Sustainability. No, they're not. The Environmental Sustainability isn't up. But anyway, I'll commend them anyway. We co-chair both of those portfolio advisory committees, and there's been a lot of work done by those groups. They're very engaged and very committed to working with council on a whole range of initiatives. And just to add to the Road Safe Westgate Community Road Safety Council, we're here. This report's on what council is doing and contributing to that regional body, but it's important to note that that body is undergoing a strategic review of its structure and governance, and is putting a fair bit of energy into that at the moment. And that's all I'll say.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Anyone against the motion? Any other speakers to the motion? Councillor Gates, anything to add?
The sustainability pack was the first delegates report, so yes, it is tabled. Metro Waste was squeezed in behind it. But go to a vote, please.
Certainly.
I'm
going to put the motion to vote. All those in favour? And the motion is carried. We move now to section 10, and I'd like now to briefly address the council before the council considers the notice of motion, which is titled Condolence for Mr. Gerardus Jerry Denduck. And Betty Brown, who's Jerry's daughter, and her husband Dennis Brown, join us tonight as my guests in the chamber. Thank you so much for coming along. I hope you've enjoyed a taste of our local brand and democracy this evening. You've sat through the entire agenda. Congratulations. Dennis contacted the council after Jerry passed away, and a week later we subsequently met at Betty and Dennis's house in Watsonia, where we spent a pleasant hour learning about Jerry and his association with the Shire of Altona, having served for 3 terms, including a term as Shire President. And Ms. Brown lent us some of the images from her personal collection, and you can see them on the screen here tonight. That's Jerry on the left, or Shire President Dendock, who's in front of the dome under construction, which is the roof of this chamber. were upset tonight. Gerardus Dendulk, better known as Jerry, and with your leave I'll refer to him as Jerry because I feel like I've got to know him somewhat through meeting you and through reading some of the documents that you've supplied, as well as articles in the newspaper that were part of your personal collection. Was born in Scheveningen, the Netherlands, on November the 8th, 1923, and was a second of five children. And as a member of Dutch Underground, Jerry helped establish the first link between occupied Holland and the Dutch government in England in May 1940. He was captured and sent as slave labour to Germany in 1942, but escaped, survived the war by going into hiding for 2 years in Holland, and was tried by a German court and sentenced to death for sabotage. He saw war as a horrific thing for all involved, however, he was very forgiving and accepting of all nationalities. He and his wife started out life in Australia at a camp in Bathurst, and they both knew very little English. They then moved to Altona, into a bungalow behind a Dutch family they were friends with. He then bought two blocks of land and would sell the land to afford to add on to the house he was building for his family. And the immigrant community at the time would all pitch in to help each build their houses and to do renovations after the workday was over, because there was no access to loans through the banks at that time. And everyone had to pitch in to help build the house. He worked at the Mobil oil refinery in the mid-50s, where he got badly burnt in a major fire where another man died. The family agreed to only speak English at home once he started his job with the oil refinery, as he found it difficult to remember English once he had spent the weekend speaking Dutch. And I believe they had a rule thereafter in the house that they only speak English. Jerry always had a strong interest in community and politics. He was elected to Altona Council in August 1959, re-elected in 1962 and in 1965. He was elected Shire President in 1963, which was a huge honour as he was the first person from a non-English speaking country to hold this position. During his time in office, he worked extensively for the elderly citizens, migrants, and was on many advisory committees. He won pre-selection twice for the upper house of the Victorian Parliament for the Australian Labor Party. He became a Justice of the Peace and was responsible for bringing the celebration aspect to the naturalisation or citizenship ceremonies which we now continue today. He also assisted in being the first council to build a library. The Elderly Citizens Centre and the Life Saving Club were of high importance to Jerry. He and his wife owned a greengrocer's on the corner of Civic Parade and Millers Road. Mr. Dendulk opened the Civic Centre offices and unveiled the Chamber Dome with the Prime Minister, Arthur Calwell, which...
Oh no, he was never Prime Minister.
Oh, sorry.
He was opposition
leader. My apologies. It was just a bit before my time, but Arthur Calwell is pictured in the photograph, very hard to spot. This is the first session in the Chamber after it was completed, and he's very small in the image there, but sitting next to the Shire President, Dendulk. Following his term as Shire President, he moved to Queensland with his family to devote more time to his daughter, Betty, and his wife, Lenny, after a busy time in office and in business. He returned to Altona in 1985 to visit the council offices, and again in 1994, when Hobsons Bay was created following the amalgamation. Thank you, Betty and Dennis, for making the time to attend tonight, and please accept our heartfelt condolences for the loss of your father, Jerry, who gave so much of himself to our community. His work, as you see, lives on. Councillors, who will move this motion?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson. Go ahead, second.
I'm happy to second.
Certainly, thank you, Councillor Altair. Councillor Wilson.
It's an honour to move this condolence motion in the presence of former Mayor Dendulk's daughter and son-in-law. I think we have a custom in this chamber of recognising the civic duty of significant contributors to a municipality, whether it was the Altona Shire or Williamstown. We now amalgamated with the two. Some people would like us to go back in time, but we cannot do that. So that's civic duty that Mr. Jerry Dendock has performed in this community is well recognised this evening, and our condolences heartfelt go to his family who are with us tonight. It's worth noting that in this very year in our capital works budget we have a commitment to the upgrade of Dendock Reserve, which I'm not sure if you are aware that there is a reserve named after your father, and that is going to be graced with a new playground and community gardens. So I think that's probably a fitting tribute to someone who introduced the giving of plants at naturalisation ceremonies. So that celebratory aspect lives on in terms of the one that was started, and for that I think I'll remember him at every citizenship ceremony that I attend in the future. So I hereby move the motion as printed and pay my condolences. Thanks, Nance.
Thank you, Councillor Wilson, for your kind words. Councillor Alton.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I won't too much except to say, obviously, the late Mr. Dendall was a shining example of how immigrants can succeed in this wonderful land. And as we've heard, he was a very, you know, civic-minded person who, a great public figure who has made a lasting contribution to the welfare and enhancement of our city. And I must say, I was delighted to hear that he came from Scheveningen, because I had great pleasure when I lived in Holland visiting those beautiful shores. So indeed, valet Mr. Nandok, and I think this is a lovely tribute that we've performed tonight.
Thank you kindly, Councillor Alton. If there are no other speakers, I will now put the motion to a vote. All those in favour? And the motion is carried. Thank you once again. I look forward to talking to you after the meeting. We now move to item 11, which is supplementary public question time. Do we have any supplementary questions? In which case, I'll go to item 12, urgent and other business. Are there any other items of other business to be raised? You have a question, sir? Well, you can put it in writing.
I tried to get a piece of paper before, but I missed out, so I've
okay.
Which is
obviously
quite rude. So
oh, that's fine. We'll have a chat later and we can answer it. Yeah, thank you. All right. Are there any other items of other business to be raised? In which case, we've come to the end of the agenda, except for the in-camera business, which is item 13, and at this time I'd just like to invite the gallery to leave the chamber. This is in fact the last item on the agenda, so while you're free to come back in once the item has been considered, there's no point because I'll be closing the meeting shortly thereafter. Yeah, so first of all I'll ask for a motion to move into in camera.
Second.
Move for Councillor Wilson. Second, Councillor Hemphill. All in favour? Motion is carried. Thank you all.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Can we ask questions, maybe, first of all, about the car?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Sorry.
So, I'll be advised on.
Did you start the recording?
What did you say?